Joe and I had an old friend who lived down in Texas. His name was Wino Joe. I've always felt sorry for anybody in AA that didn't get to meet Wino Joe. He was a real character. He made up his own list of questions to ask yourself to see if you're alcoholic. And the first question on his list was, has the roof of your mouth ever been sunburned? Well, yeah. Joe was a real wino, and he spent lots of time laying out in the field with his mouth wide open.
Out in those cotton fields.
Another question he asked that I loved, he said, have you ever been arrested for drunk driving from the back seat of somebody else's car? And the third one that I liked was, have you ever been arrested for public drunk while in jail? So, Wino had a whole list. We just need to. You know, we are very, very unique people. Very few people in the world suffer an illness, which is a twofold illness, that can only be overcome by a spiritual experience. We number amongst a few people in the world that have a terminal illness, that we can come out of it in better shape than we went into it if we can have that spiritual experience. Now, the book says to one who feels he's an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. And that's exactly where I was when I got here. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he's an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death.
Step one.
Or to live on a spiritual basis.
Step two.
Are not always easy alternatives to face. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it's going to be that way with you. But cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics, and our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. Now, thinking what Bill is saying to us here in these last two paragraphs, it really doesn't make any difference what you think or what you believe or how you feel about this God thing when you come to AA, that you're still going to be able to have the spiritual experience, the spiritual awakening, still going to be able to learn how to live on a spiritual basis. He said, if a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. Now, we alcoholics aren't drunken bums. Drunken bums are where they want to be. They're not too interested in changing the situation. We alcoholics will be there with the drunken bums, but we don't want to be there. We've got a conscience. We have a philosophy of life. We have a set of morals. We can't live up to them, though, because of our alcoholism. But if those morals and those philosophies could have saved us, many of us would have recovered from alcoholism a long time ago. The book says, but we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. And how true that is. You know, if you and I could have found the power in any other way to overcome our alcoholism, well, we wouldn't be members of AA today. You know, this is the court of last resort. We came to AA because we had no place else to go. We didn't come to AA because we wanted to. I've never seen an alcoholic yet that took a drink at age 14, jumped up and down, shouted with joy, said, I can hardly wait to be a member of AA when I'm 36 years old. No. If we could have found the power in any other way, we wouldn't be members of AA today. We had to find the power by which we could live. And it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. It does not say which will enable you to solve your problem. It says which will solve your problem. And we find, interestingly enough, from page 45 on, we're through talking about alcohol. From page 45 on, we talk about one thing and one thing only. For those of us who are powerless, and that's all of us, or we wouldn't be here, how do you find the power? And if we can find the power, then the power will solve the problem. So if we're going to have find the power, we're going to have to start somewhere. And let's see if we can see the beginning or the starting of the finding of the power. Let's go over to page 46. Last paragraph.
You know, if you think your willpower is what's going to solve it, we know that now that willpower is not going to do it because the obsession of the mind is stronger than our willpower. Well, we got to find something stronger than our obsession of the mind, which is that who made it, which is a spiritual experience, is stronger than the obsession of the mind. That's the only thing that will conquer this problem. On page 46, it said, yes, we of agnostic temper have had these thoughts and experience. Let us make haste to reassure you. We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice, which is old ideas, and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and effect the contact with Him.
Okay, here's the first old idea cast aside. When I was raised as a kid in church, I was taught that you have to believe that the way they believe, or you're going to go to hell just as sure as anything. And I figured since I didn't believe that way, there was no chance of me having a spiritual experience or spiritual awakening. The book tells me that's not necessarily true. That I can have my own conception of God. So the first old idea is cast aside, replaced with a new idea. I can have my own conception of God. I don't have to be concerned anymore about what they said about God, who He is, what He is, or where He is. First old idea cast aside, replaced with a new idea.
My old first sponsor, George, a little black fellow who's dead now, just died about 6 or 8 weeks ago. Yeah, he was a tremendous fellow. But anyhow, George saw that I was having a real trouble with this idea about God. And he said, Joe, you're having real trouble with this, aren't you? And I said, I'm just having all kinds of trouble with it. I don't know what to do. He said, well, I'll tell you what he did, and maybe it would help me, he said. He said, go home tonight and get you a pencil and a piece of paper out and realize that you can't make God, but if you could, what would you want God to be? I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. You go to hell in that Southern Baptist church for doing that.
In a hurry.
In a hurry. They found out about it. So I went home that night, and I got me a pencil and a piece of paper, and I wrote down some things that I wanted God, just me, laying aside all that other stuff that I thought I knew. If I could make God, I wanted Him to be this. I wrote it down, and I showed it to George. I thought he would probably laugh at me, but he didn't. He said, well, that's good. You can start right there. Boy, I needed permission. I needed a starting place, and he gave me permission to start right there, and I needed that permission. So I started right there with a very simple little idea. And our book goes on to say, as soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard a term for those who seek Him. To us, the realm of the Spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It's open, we believe, to all men. And I said, George, you mean I have to find God? And George said, well, George, God's not lost. Our book says here, we found that God does not make too hard a term for those who seek Him. And it is never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek Him. It's not in the finding anyhow. It's in the seeking. If I will seek God in my life, He will disclose Himself to me. It's in the seeking. It's not in the finding.